think of this song. John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. I remember what I was going to say. We do have the live video going this morning, so y'all behave here in the front row. I'm watching. I'm just kidding. Not kind of kidding, but not really. Anyway, there's some at home not able to make it, and I hope they're able to join us here through video. And Isaiah didn't know I was watching him. I saw him a minute ago walk past that thing and look back at the screen and realize he was on camera, and he ducked out of the way real quick. It's not embarrassing in front of everybody, not just yourself. John chapter 14. If you will stand, would you find your place there? Good to be in God's house today. Brother Paul, you looking for these? That's the sissy ones with a cherry in it. It's my wife. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us today. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, thank you for giving the opportunity to preach this church once more. Lord, I pray you guide our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray your will be done today. Lord, I pray you lost here with us. Lord, I pray you save us too late. Lord, I pray you get me out of the way, Lord, and you do a work here that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. My heart today is burdened for the lost. I had a message I was going to preach this morning on soul winning. And if the Lord leaves, I'll preach that tonight if he allows. I got early this morning, and the Lord lead me a different way and put this message together early this morning. So it was kind of kooky. I only had one cup of coffee at the time, so we'll get there. Anyway, salvation is a simple thing. It's not supposed to be complicated. I'm so thankful for that, because I'm not smart enough to figure it out if it wasn't simple. Jesus made it simple. Verse 6 says, he gives us the answer for it. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's very simple. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the solution to whatever the problem you may have. If you put God in the middle of your problems, I promise you, he'll point the direction. He is the light. He'll show you the path you're supposed to be following. It's when I hear this morning, young, old, middle-aged, somewhere just confused on how to get to heaven. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you've heard different doctrines and different religions say different things. And maybe you're just not sure on what the real answer is. If you look this past year, Thomas was in the same situation. Maybe you do know those things. Just don't cut me off this morning. If you would, listen to me for a few minutes. The Bible says, stir us up by putting us in remembrance. Maybe you already know those things. Maybe you just need to be reminded. But I believe I have what God wants me to preach today. If I mess it up, it's my fault, it's not his, but I believe I have what he wants me, what he wants you to hear. Jesus here in this passage is telling his disciples that he's going to ascend up into heaven. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to do something. He says, that's where I am. Where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That way, when you come, you'll have a place as well. Yeah. Where I am, there you may be also. So he tells him he's leaving. Thomas speaks to him. He says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How in the world are we going to get there? We don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way? Anyone like that here this morning? You've heard about heaven. You've heard about hell. You've heard about these two different things. You've heard all these different doctrines. You've heard about having peace and eternity. And you've heard all these peace that passes all understanding. It just doesn't make any sense to you. All these things sound promising. Maybe it's not quite sure on how to get there. Thomas says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How are we supposed to get there? How are you supposed to find you there? Thomas says, Lord, I don't know where you're going. I don't know how to get there. I don't know where the Father's house is that you're talking about. I don't know any of those things. The first step to getting saved, the first step to getting to heaven is realizing you're lost. Amen. You don't ask for a direction until you admit you're lost. Amen. You can't get saved until you realize you're lost. And Thomas says, Lord, I don't know how to get there. His first step was admitting, Lord, I don't know how to get there. Amen. Same step for us, Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single boy, girl, man, woman, grandma, and grandpa in here today was born a sinner. Every one of us was. I don't care where you came from. I don't care who your parents were, how good you think you are, how good you think you were. We're all born sinners. Every last one of us. The word sin in the Bible means to miss the mark. For all have sinned, it means to miss the mark. We all have missed the mark. Strong's Concordance puts it this way. To miss the mark and so not share in the prize. It means you miss the target and you don't get the reward. What's the prize? The prize would be a home in heaven. So when we sin, we miss the mark, and we do not share in the prize, home in heaven. That's the consequences of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I try to untie my tongue here in a minute. Sin will keep you out of heaven. It will. We're all sinners according to Romans 3:23. So that means that not one of us can, on our own merit, make it into heaven. So what's the alternative? Very simple. So what's the alternative? We can't get there on our own. So how do we get there? We know the Bible says the only alternative to heaven would be hell, both for eternity. We realize that. Back to this thought here in John chapter 14 about missing the mark. Somebody say, well, what about my sin? Maybe my sin's not that bad, or maybe my sin's too bad to be saved. That missing the mark, the definition of sin, the missing the mark, means you miss God's perfect will. It means God's perfect will is the bullseye of the target. And when you sin, you have missed the mark. You sin. Well, it's not really that bad of a sin, preacher. To me, it doesn't feel like a sin. If it's anywhere off of God's perfect will, it's a sin. If just a hair off, it's still a sin. That's why Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. We might not all be in the gangs, we might not all be drunkards, and drug addicts might not all be those things, but every last one of us is a sinner. That also means that to God, your sin is the same as my sin. A miss is a miss. Doesn't matter if you missed right beside or missed a mile, a miss is still a miss. Whether you're still on a target or you have to shot the neighbor's cat because you missed so bad, a miss is still a miss. Both of them are sin. So what does that mean to us? Lord saved me when I was 11-year-old little boy, little kid. I was not a drunkard. I was 11 years old. I wasn't a drug addict. I've never killed anybody. I've never done any wicked things like that. I was just a kid. But I was just as much guilty of sin, had the same punishment as the drunkard and the drug addict and the murderer would have. Maybe not in man's eyes, but in God's eyes, a sin. You miss the target, it's all a sin. That means that you are never too far gone for God. It also means you're never too far good for God. We're all the same in His eyes. We're all sinners. And without Him, we'd be dying and going to hell. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Miss Arlene's not here to cherish in that. Every last one of us are sinners. And I've got good news for you. I've been saved for 14 years now. Maybe it's not good news. I've been saved 14 years now, and I'm still a sinner. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. I still miss the mark, but God's grace is sufficient. So back to our passage here. Thomas is a little confused. He says, Lord, where are you going? Lord, how do I get there? And how are we supposed to know how to get there if we don't even know where you're going? How can we go? If you're lost this morning, it ought to be the same question you're asking. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I know I've done wrong. How do I get it right? How do I get forgiveness? How do I get there? How can I get to heaven? Well, Jesus answers all those questions right there in verse number 6. And that's how simple it is. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. Jesus is the only answer. So I'm going to look at just this one verse here. 3 points. It's very simple. And you can go eat lunch. Number one, how can I be saved? He answers it right there. I am the way. How can you get to heaven? How can you go where Jesus is going? How can you be saved? It's very simple. Jesus tells Thomas, He says, I am the way. I'm the way to get to heaven. He is the way to heaven. Jesus is the key. You say, well, what does that mean for me? Jesus is the way, but how do I get to Jesus? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only begotten Son would be Jesus. So we could read it this way. For God so loved the world, that He gave Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's the answer. If you believe on Him, you can get there. Jesus is the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me, He says. He is the key. He is the key to the door of heaven. You say, well, I just need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe that He is the very Son of God, and He died for you, and that you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell without Him. There are a lot of scholars who believe in Jesus. They believe He was a good teacher, and they believe He was a good preacher, maybe a prophet. But they don't believe He was the Son of God. Romans 5:8 says, but God commends His love toward us, and there are yet sinners, Christ died for us. The very Son of God, Christ, Jesus Christ, died for me and you. He was not just a teacher, not just a prophet. He was the very Son of God. We have to believe that. How can I be saved? Believe in Jesus and believe in what He did for you. He commendeth His love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means Jesus Christ came, and He died on the cross for us while we were still sinners. He died for us before we loved Him. We loved Him because He first loved us. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything for it. Yet He died and gave us the opportunity to spend eternity with Him in heaven. John 3:16, I already said a minute ago, it says, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love the good people or the moral people or the people that knew about His church, just the people who would believe Him. He said He loved the entire world, it says. He literally loves us to death. He literally loved us to death when we didn't even love Him back. You say, well, I believe that. Now what? Just ask Him to save and forgive your sins. Yes, that's too simple. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes in the righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made in salvation. That confession there means repentance. Yes. Verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many times we forget about that repentance part. Verse 10 says, for with the mouth, confession is made in salvation. That means we're to confess our sins to him. Now, I don't believe we need to go through a long list of sins, every sin you've ever committed. Because if that was the case, I forgot probably more than I asked forgiveness for. We can't go through all of them. The point is, admit you're a sinner. Admit you have done wrong. You know without him, you are nothing. And ask him to save you. You say, well, I don't know about all that repentance stuff. I was going to say this for tonight, but I'll go ahead and read it now anyway. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's Jesus' last words before he ascends into heaven, Luke 24. Jesus' last command to the early church before he ascended up into heaven, he said, you go and you preach repentance and remission of sins. No repentance, no remission. Go hand in hand. According to the very mouth of God, repentance and remission go hand in hand. Jesus himself, he said, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning up at Jerusalem. You must repent. That's what that confession means over Romans 10:10. Repent and believe in him. It's not complicated. It's not a work salvation. You can't work your way there. If you wanted to, you just believe you're wrong. Pray to him and tell him you were wrong. Ask him to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Ask him for forgiveness and believe on him. It's that simple. Just ask him to forgive you and believe on him. That verse 13, what an assurance that is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means it doesn't matter how good I am or how much I've done for him. It doesn't matter if I'm a preacher or not. It doesn't matter any of those things. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You couldn't be good enough if you wanted to. I couldn't be good enough if I wanted to. It's not about us. It's about him. Back to 1 John again. If we confess sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God, it's God's will that all should come to repentance. That's what 2 Peter 3, 9 says. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants them all to come to repentance. But there are some who will refuse to repent. We know that from the Scripture. We see Sennacherib this morning as an example. There are some who will refuse to repent. There are some who will shun him and go their own way. God gives us a choice. I believe the verses here prove that. It's God's will that everyone should be saved. That's the bullseye I was talking about earlier. His will, the middle of the target. We sin, we miss that. If we don't turn back to him, we are going to spend eternity in hell. But some won't get it. Some will refuse it. And their eternity will be burning in a place called hell. And that's the truth of the matter. That's not fun to talk about. I don't like to talk about those things, but that's the truth. Question for you today, what about you? It's a personal thing. Sinner, what about you? Would you trust in Jesus? Have you trusted in Jesus today? Would you trust in his salvation? Have you already done that before? He will forgive you. He will wash you whiter than snow. And if you'll just repent and believe on him, would you do that? Have you done that? Would you trust in him? Is the Holy Ghost pulling on your heart today? I believe conviction is also necessary for salvation. The Holy Spirit has to open your heart and pull you in and explain things to you. Open your heart. That sinking feeling in your chest, that's called conviction. That's the Holy Spirit doing his part. I'm doing my job preaching the gospel. Will you believe it? Will you repent and believe? Will you be saved? How can I be saved? Because he is the way. He is the answer. Jesus Christ is the only way to get there. How can I be saved? Number two, how can I be sure? He says, because I am the way. And he says, I am the truth. How can I be sure? Because he's the truth. It just seems so simple. Just believe in him and ask him. Surely it can't be that simple. A lot of folks struggle with this. Even sometimes after you say, sometimes Satan will sow a seed of doubt. Did I really believe, or did he really save me? Did I really do? Is that really how simple it can be? How have I really been forgiven? How can I be sure? How can Thomas be sure that he's the way to heaven? Jesus made it very clear. I'm the way and I'm the truth. How can you be sure? Because he is the truth. John chapter 8, verse number 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know the truth is him, he shall make you free. You know, Jesus, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, no one, nowhere can take that from you. It's not going to go away. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says, once you're saved, I'm not going to get rid of you. That's eternal security. We don't have to worry about it ever again. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's talking about the Holy Spirit pulling and that conviction, that pulling, I was talking about earlier, all the Father giveth me, the conviction. Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once you come to Jesus, he's not going to cast you out. You will not. You cannot sin and get unsaved. It doesn't work that way. Once you come, you are there, settled, sure, for eternity. You don't have to worry about it again. How can I be sure? Because he is the truth. He said you don't have to worry about it. He said he will not cast you out. He will not lie to you. Maybe you're still not convinced. Look at John chapter 10. Go ahead and turn there. A couple chapters back. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and start at verse number 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews, ran about him, said to him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus came to Jesus with more questions for him. They said, if you're God, just tell us you're God. He said, I did tell you, and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He said, I told you I was, told you who I was. I'm doing what the Bible said I would do. I'm fulfilling all these prophecies I was supposed to fulfill, and you stood still, would not believe. But you believe not. You refuse to believe. And Jesus returns and begins to talk about those who do believe him. He says, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do follow me. He says, you are not of my sheep, because my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He said, if you were mine, you would follow me. If you were going to believe, you would believe. And they are not following him. They are not a sheep. Very simple. Listen to what he says about his sheep. It's the main point here. He says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know what that means? That means if you will believe in him and trust in him and be saved, and you are one of his sheep, and you will know him and know his voice, and he'll give you eternal life, and you never perish, and no man will ever be able to pluck you out of his hands. You can have assurance of that today. If you'll believe in him and trust in him, you'll be safe for eternity. You don't have to earn your merit badges to get there. You couldn't work there if you want. You have to be so good and pay enough money into the church to get there. If you believe in him, believe he's the very Son of God, believe he died for you, and ask him to forgive you, you'll be saved for eternity. And he says, no man will pluck you out of my hand. He is the truth. He wouldn't lie to you. He can't lie to you. How can you be sure? Because he's the truth. How can you be satisfied? He says, I am the truth. I am the life. John 10:10. Leave the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Don't you want to live today? Just believe on him. There's so much more to this life than Satan has to offer, living day to day, living beer to beer, living problem to problem. If you'll simply trust in him and believe in him and follow him, he can give you the life that you can only dream of. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I'm just a redneck from Union County, North Carolina, grew up on a dead-end road beside chicken houses and a double wide. I'm a nobody from nowhere. My biggest desire when I turned 16 was to get a four-wheel drive truck so I could go mud. And that's the kind of redneck I was. I am a nobody. And God looked down. He saw me. He put me in a church where I could hear the gospel preached. He gave me godly parents. He would take me to church and love me and taught me right. The Holy Spirit pulled me and convicted me and gave me multiple chances and I trusted him to save my soul. Why? Because for God so loved the world. Not because I'm anything, because he is everything. Since that day, 10:50, I looked up in my Bible, 10:50 p.m. on August 4th, 2006, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. My life has been anything but boring. Far from boring. Yes, my family. I don't have the time to tell you all we've done, all we've seen, everywhere we've been. If I did, you probably wouldn't believe half of it. He said, I'm come they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He's worth living for. You want to live? Believe on him. Quit wasting your life away, you young people. You want to do something with your life? You want to see some amazing things? You want to see something done for God? And just trust him. Just believe him. Be saved today and live your life for him. Living for God is the farthest thing from boring you could get. He'll teach you to trust him and follow him. And people back home think I'm crazy. And I am a little bit crazy. That's why I'm here. I'm the first one from a family to ever leave. I'm the weird one and packed up and moved across the country. And live on an island in the rain with everybody else. Everybody's amazed at all the bears. Living for God is anything but boring. God will teach you to do some things like giving. God blesses that. God bless your life. He will bless your life. We were down there at the camp meeting in my home church, and I'm going to try to brag. I'm not trying to brag myself, but I had a little bit of cash in my wallet, not much, and God said to give it. So I gave it to a preacher that was there. The Lord told me to do that, so I did it. That's not bragging on me. It's just trying to be obedient. The next day, another preacher came to me, and he handed me exactly double what I gave the first preacher. I thought it was extra to me because I already gave it. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. So I turned around and gave it all to somebody else. The Lord told me to. And 2 days later, somebody came back to me and gave me double the second amount I gave. Over and over again. Lord blessed that over and over again. And then I gave another offering. Lord doubled that. Living for God is anything but boring. Living for God, following God's will is anything for boring. Working for God, following after Him is about as far from boring as you want to have a life. You want to have life more abundantly, then live it for Him. Why don't you try it? Just give it a shot. I promise you're not going to regret it. Yeah, there are hard times. Yeah, there are times when you don't know which way to go. I've never in my life regretted giving my life to God. I've regretted choices I've made, regretted sins I've committed. I've never regretted giving anything to God. Young people, give your life to Him. If you're not saved today, be saved today. Give your life to Him. Live for Him. Are you saved? Have you trusted in Him as your personal Savior? If not, why don't you get it settled today? Young people, you never regret it. Older people, you never regret it. How can I be saved? He is the way. How can I be sure? He is the truth. How can I be satisfied? Because He is the life. Just trust in Him today. If you're not saved, get that settled today. We're not promised another day. We're not promised another second. Trust Him before He's too late. If the Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart today, don't you leave this place without answering Him. If you ignore Him today, you're not promised another chance. He may give you another chance. He may not. Be saved today. Anyone here struggling with this thing of salvation? You say, well, I've made a profession of faith. I'm just not so sure. What are you questioning? What is there to question? He is the truth. He's not going to lie to you. If you believed on Him, He's going to save you. There's no question about it. If you're one of His sheep, no man's going to pluck you out of His hand. You can trust in Him. Maybe today you're just tired of wasting your life away. Maybe you're tired of spending your life not accomplishing anything for Him. Maybe young people, you're looking at your future. You want something exciting to live. All young people want that. You want an adventure. All young people want that. I can promise you, you won't find it anywhere but with Him. Yes, sin may be fun for a season. That season's going to end. It's going to end in pain and destruction and with scars that you can't forget. Just trust Him. He is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I read this story and thought it might help us here. The writer says this. He says, in the grounds of Hampton Court Palace, there's a maze built of hedges. In the middle of the maze is a seat where those who are tired of finding their way back out can rest and think things over. There is a bell there. By ringing the bell, a lost person can summon help. A man will appear, and a man who knows the way, and you follow him soon. These perplexing paths will resolve into an orderly way. The solution lies in the man. This life can sometimes feel like a maze. Don't know which way to go or what to do. My wife and I were talking a lot about that yesterday. But if we just simply stop trying to fix it ourselves, just simply ring the bell and ask for help, asking to help us and lead us and direct us, I promise you the solution to problems in your life that lies in the man, lies in Jesus Christ. He is able to save you. He is able to lead you. He is able to give you life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And so I just don't know how to get that. I just don't understand all these things. He is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only answer there is.